Greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your speaker today is Evangelist John Ahorn of Atchison, Kansas, and we're bringing to you a message from God's precious, holy, and unerring Word. Now I should like to read to you from the Gospel Epistle, and maybe that wouldn't be necessary even to go any further, as perhaps most of you or many of you know, and all of you ought to know, that there is but one Gospel Epistle, and that is the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. Now, what about the Gospel? Just what is the Gospel? You know, we get various answers to a question like that. There are some who have wrong notions, and they say, well, I believe that the Bible is the Gospel. But that is not the case. It is true that the Gospel is contained in the Bible, but all the Bible is not the Gospel. The Gospel is good news, glad tidings, yes, glad tidings of free, full, and eternal salvation. So, I'm going to ask you now to read for a moment in the first chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, and we'll read right the very first verse, which says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the Gospel of God. And again, I remind you that the words to be are italicized words, and so really the verse reads like this, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle. Now, he did not become an apostle by having hands laid upon him in a special way. No, no, no. He became an apostle by a direct call from the God of heaven. You can think of him, for instance, prior to his conversion, he had bitter, burning hatred in his heart to God, the God of heaven, and to our Lord Jesus Christ, and in a special way, he expressed it by persecuting those of whom he speaks, those of the way, or the Christians, or the followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was there when Stephen, the proto-martyr, forfeited his life for his testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. He sealed his testimony with his blood. Oh, yes, and I'm sure he gladly laid down his life for the gospel's sake. And the Saul of Tarsus, for that's what he was then, he stood by and he could say, I gave my voice or I gave my vote. He consented to the death of Stephen. Now that must have been a never forgettable sight to him as he saw a man being shamefully, brutally, and cruelly put to death, and yet he could say, Father, forgive them, lay not this sin to their charge. And so a little bit later, Saul of Tarsus was apprehended by the God of heaven. Now he was continuing to persecute, to apprehend, and to imprison those of the way. When a voice from the excellent glory said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now Saul might have said, Lord, I'm not persecuting you. I'm persecuting these heretics. I'm persecuting those of the way who seem to be opposed to what the teaching of our God and of our fathers. At any rate, this is what happened on that memorable day. Saul of Tarsus said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so he acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord. And we'll say a lot about that a little bit later on, for you know, after all, it's possible for men and women to be saved in this life and fitted for the glory land. And so Saul was saved that day when he acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord. And then he was entrusted with the gospel and became the apostle of the Gentiles, our apostle, and we like to speak of him in that fashion. And so he went hither and yon. Oh, of course, I mean, he did not just go at random, but he was led by and guided by the Holy Spirit of God. What reached his heart that day when he bowed to the terms of the Lord Jesus Christ revolutionized his entire life, and so I repeat, he became an exponent of the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and spent his time telling others, and oh, what he endured for the gospel's sake. He could say, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they might obtain the salvation of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, we could say a great deal about Saul, or rather, he becomes Paul, Paul our apostle, and we could say a great deal about the messenger, his being fitted by God to carry that gospel to those that were far off. But I want to say now something about his message. You see, he had a marvelous message to tell to others. And in this very first chapter, of course, he begins by telling us, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And then he says, so as much as in me is, I am now ready, I am now ready, I like that word, to preach the gospel to them that are at Rome also. And then now he tells us something about his message. This is the message now. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Oh, thank God for a message like that. And Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, that word, I am not ashamed, could be misunderstood. What the Apostle Paul is seeking to get across is not the fact that he was a hero, that he was brave, he was all of that. But when he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he's speaking of the message itself. Now, for instance, I may put up a building, and maybe the structure is so poor that I'd be ashamed to have anyone know that I built it. But someone comes along who's a master builder, and after he has completed a wonderful monument, and this is really actually his masterpiece, why he can say, I am not ashamed of it. Now listen, the Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And it is the gospel of Christ, the good news concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. Now there are several interesting and outstanding words in that precious verse, that is to say the 16th verse of Romans chapter 1. And I want to notice with you a word of but two letters. The apostle says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is. I'm glad to be able to tell you that the gospel, as proclaimed in apostolic days, as to its character, has not changed in the slightest degree. And that gospel today would do exactly what it did in primitive days, would do just what it did in the days when there was great grace and great power and great fear too. So far as the message itself is concerned, it knows no bounds, it knows no limitations. The gospel is, and that's what fills and thrills my heart today, to know that I can stand before this microphone and I can proclaim to the entire world, if they could hear it, that the gospel is, not the gospel was. Not that there was a time when the gospel broke hearts and reached men and women. True, it did that. But it no longer operates. And so we have to change our method, or we have to change at least our message. Now, whether we change our method or not is not too important. That is to say, the manner in which we get this gospel across to others is not so important. But we never can change the message itself, for it concerns our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God. Oh, how wonderful. Now, we're living in days when so much is said about power, and there's a race, you know, amongst the nations to see who can exhibit the greatest power, the greatest power in the various fields of science and so on. Well, that God, in the person of His Son, procured for us salvation, and He says, therein lies and therein is revealed the power of God. Now, we've been speaking about Paul and then about Paul's message. Now, I should like to say just a little bit further about the subjects for this gospel. You see, every man, every woman, every boy and every girl, every person in the world needs the gospel of the Son of God. Now, how could it be effective? In other words, how could this power be unleashed in my life? That's what I have no doubt some are wondering today. You say the gospel is the power of God. Could that gospel save a drunkard? Could that gospel save a gambler? Could that gospel save a whoremonger or an adulterer? Thank God there's power in that gospel to deliver any man, any woman, any boy, any girl who puts faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, says someone, just how does it operate? How could it be made good in my life? Well, on the easiest possible terms. And shall we see now just how it's made effective? He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now I like the last part of the verse, to everyone that believeth. And then he says, of course, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now we shall say perhaps more about that a little bit later on. The gospel to the Jew first, and then also to the Gentile. And then he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And we're wondering, friends, if this great salvation has ever been revealed to you. And one truly is reminded of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Peter when he said, Blessed art thou, or happy art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So that in reality, you know, God's salvation is a revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ to the soul. It does not come to us by way of a human or natural generation, but it's a work of God in the soul, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you've never had such an experience, we trust that it may be yours and yours right this very moment, now, if you trust our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is Good News Hour, and we have been bringing to you another message from the Holy Scriptures, and we'd like to hear from you. This address will reach us, Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas.